your life that you have freedom and liberty in many places, many areas of your life, but there's one area in your life you just don't have breakthrough. Would you like to have breakthrough in that area? You know, it all comes back for all those things to happen. We've got to return to reverence. We got to reverence the Lord, because when we reverence the Lord, it brings freedom. But when we reverence the Lord, it brings wisdom and understanding to how to live in this life. And I'm in a strange time in my life. For some reason, I think it's, you know, just being honest, I think it's the Lord's been speaking to me in the bathroom. And I think it has to do with, you know, we go to the bathroom, what, for physical cleansing or elimination. I think he's talking to me in the spirit, and there's a correlation there, because he wants to show me some things that will make my life and make this church's life, eliminate some things out of our life, but then be washed in the water of the Word. Amen. So I was in the bathroom, and he said, "Do you really reverence me?" And of course, when he says that to you, then you know it's time to sit on the potter's wheel. And there was a bunch of things that come in my heart, and I'm not going to tell you, that I need to deal with. And so, if you don't want to listen to this message, you just pray for me, because the moment I preach this, there's no turning back. So if you don't want to hear it, you need to leave now, because after you heard it and after I preach it, we're going to have to live it. Yeah. All right. So bear with me as we lay a foundation. Open up your Bibles, your Bible app, to the Gospel of Matthew. I want to look at Matthew chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 11. All right, let's look at the first six verses, and then we're going to turn over to chapter 15. Matthew 11 and 1, if you're there, say amen. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities." Now, the Holy Ghost is here to preach and teach in our lives tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Personal. Verse 2. "Now when John had heard that in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto him, Art thou the one he that should come, or do we look for another?" And notice this. "Jesus answered and said, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them." Notice this, verse number 6. "And blessed," supremely blessed, "and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Blessed is the person that's not offended in him. Okay, turn over to chapter 15. And look at this real quick. Verse number 1, Matthew 15 and 1. "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Verse 3. "But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Now, drop down to verse 12, Matthew 15 and 12. This is so strange to me. "Then came his disciples and said unto him," here comes his disciples to correct Jesus. "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. 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 Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Ray. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for honoring the word. Hold your place there, and we'll look at these scriptures. What as the Spirit of God laid this out in my heart, the revelation came that we're living in a politically correct society, from the government down to the church, where everybody doesn't need to be offended, but they don't care if they offend Jesus. Now, don't try to tell somebody the truth. If their mind's all twisted up and they think things that are impossible, don't offend them, because they have a right to think whatever they want to think. This is true. You can think tonight whatever you want to think. I can think whatever I want to think. But when it's said and done, every man, woman, boy, and girl is going to stand before God the Father or before Jesus. And I don't know about you, I want to stand before Jesus. I want to stand before the Bema, because I'm trusting in Jesus. And if I stand before Jesus at the Bema, that means that all of my sins, Brother Zach, He's took them. He's took them. And so my confidence is in Him. And so the Lord started showing me some things that he said, you can settle and you can go ahead and live out the rest of your Christian life right where you're at. But you're going to always have that little gnawing that there's something better. There's something more that I want to do in your life and through your life. I want to do in the church and through the church, talking about this part of the body. But it's up to you whether you do that or not, because he said there's little things that offend me. So here we got an example of John the Baptist. When things didn't work out for him like he thought they were going to work out, he got offended. Well, tonight there may be some things in your life and my life that hasn't went exactly as they should. And so we've got to say, now, wait a minute. I'm not. This word offend is a Greek word, skandaleso, which it means to cause a person to trip and to fall and to miss out on what God has for them. So what you and I want to do is we want to be in that place, in that position where we don't get offended at the word, because all of a sudden as we went then to Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. And they're following their own doctrine, their own tradition, their own church system, and they're leaving God out. And when Jesus tries to tell them the truth, they get offended. Well, what about every time the Holy Spirit knocks on your heart or my heart and tries to tell us the truth and we don't listen? He gets offended. And so we got to learn that if I get offended and I'm created, you're created in the image of God. We've got feelings and emotions like God, only God's is holy and sanctified, and we're working towards that. And so if God has put that in us, then it come from Him. So I need to look at the things that offend me, the things that would that challenge me, the things that show me where I'm at, but then shows me what's possible. See, John is sitting there, what we just read in Matthew chapter 11, and he's in prison. Think about that. He's sitting there in prison. He's offended by what he's going through and what is happening in his life, and he thinks that God's forsaken him and that there's no hope in his life. And as he dwells on that, he offends the truth of what God has for him. Okay, let's go back and read it, because y'all are looking at me like we're in a different language. Go back to Matthew chapter 11 and look what it says if we kept reading. Verse 7, Matthew 11 and 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what you went out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Question. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what you went out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Now notice this. As he's talking about this, he's talking about John the Baptist being the messenger. See, you're a messenger. The Bible says you're Jesus' ambassador. in the earth. And your job, my job, is to prepare the way of the Lord. Well, you're going to get situations and circumstances where you can get offended, or you can say, now, wait a minute. This is for a moment, but this is what God's saying about me. And look what it says in verse 11. Verily, I send you among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. But he said, because he's on earth, he's the greatest one here, because he fulfills all the Old Testament prophets, Brother Larry. He brought the Old Testament into oneness where Jesus could say it is finished. So I got to see that I can be offended, but I need to see what Jesus says about me. And then when Jesus says something about me, I need to take him at his word. See, because all of a sudden, if the Spirit of God started telling you, you're healed, you're delivered, you're bountifully blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and then you start looking at negative things in your life, what's happening? You're being offended because you're saying, well, Lord, you may say this, but this is the way it is. Well, no, that's the fact, but we got to get back into the truth. Because the truth chains facts. All right. So what I just wanted to lay that foundation down so we could just see some things where we could understand it. Let's go to John chapter 9 and let's look at another witness of this, and then we'll get into the other side. Spirit of God. Here Jesus has just told them. In John chapter 9, he said, I want you to know that I'm the bread. I'm John chapter 9, John chapter 6. I'm the bread that comes down from heaven, he tells them. And he said, you're going to have to eat my flesh. In other words, eat the bread. You're going to have to drink my blood. You're going to have to drink the wine and have this communion. And they don't understand that. Look what it says starting in verse 58, John 6:58. He said, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread, talking about himself, you're partaking of Jesus, shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Verse 60, now therefore of his disciples, many of them, but now therefore, this is a point of view for you and I to see the majority that could not hear what he had to say. When they had heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doeth this offend you? But see, if we're not careful, we're so inward focused, Brother Donnie, that it's all about us, and we lose the sensitivity that when Jesus gives us a message, if we don't understand it, just tell him we don't understand it, talk to him about it, rather than reject it. Because if we reject it, just as we were offended on our humanly level, we're offending him on a spiritual level. Okay, look what it says. Verse 62. What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? He said in verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now he said right here, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. Notice what happens when we don't believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that would believe not, who should betray him. So we got to see how serious it is when the Spirit of God is dealing with us, trying to bring a truth to us. If we don't believe it, take hold of it, be honest with him. He says it's the same as betraying him. Amen. I'm trying to figure out where I'm supposed to go. So what I want to do, I want to be in that place, in that position, and I know that you do too, where we say, Lord, I'm going to eat your body. You're going to be the bread of life to me. I'm going to drink your blood. I'm going to partake of communion every day. And as I do that, I'm going to be honest with you. There's some things I don't understand, but I'm going to believe you more than what I'm feeling. I'm going to believe you more than what I'm seeing. I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to tell you. Because see, you and I, that's the problem that's happening in the whole church. There's no communication. Because why? Well, I don't want to make them mad. I don't want to offend somebody. But see, when we don't try to offend, we really are offending because we're not being truthful. We're not being honest. We can't grow. We can't, unless we're honest with the Lord, we're honest with each other. And so what I'm talking about is these little things that keep us from returning to reverence. Reverence is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the understanding that when we name Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, that He was supreme in authority in every area of our life. But if we're not careful, we start saying, well, thank you, Lord, for saving me. But I know, as Sister Donna was testifying, that's why she testified to that, I'm going to take care of this. And she didn't know what we was going to do. But I'm going to take care of this myself. That's not reverence. So we're putting ourselves back on the throne, ourselves in the place. And so when we do that, all of a sudden, we've embraced God as Savior, but these other areas of our life, we've offended Him. We're not reverencing Him. When we reverence Him, we give Him first and final say. See, our mind is our worst enemy. We've got to learn how to renew our mind, to sanctify our mind, and realize that everything that comes across the buds of your mind is not your thought. 99 times out of 100, it's from the devil. But he wants you to think it's your thought, where either you will embrace it as your own, or it'll start influencing you and directing you in a way that he has an agenda, a plan to hurt and hinder you. So what we want to do is we want to be in that place where we say, no, Lord, I'm going to have communion with you. See, to partake of Jesus means that we turn off these other avenues. And we put Him first. We say, Lord, it's about you. It's not about anything else. Now notice what He said there. He said, that Rhema word back in 63, He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So what I've got to do, I've got to come back and I've got to say, okay, something that's come across the butt of my mind, is that spirit, is that life? And if it's not, it's not the words of Jesus. So I'm not going to give merit to that. I'm not going to give honor to that. I'm not going to give place to that. Because when I do, I'm reverencing that and its source rather than Jesus. And the moment that I do that, all of a sudden, I've removed myself from the position and the place of power. You know the reason why we don't fear the Lord as we should? And you know why we fear other things more? Because we fear man more than we fear the Lord. That's detrimental. That will destroy our relationship. All right, so let's think about this. We see that John the Baptist, he just needed a little word and he got correction and everything was great. The scribes and the Pharisees, they ended up crucifying Jesus. So we got to realize that I need to come back and I need to hear the smallest word that Jesus talks to me about, and I need to reverence Him. I need to let that take hold in my heart. See, there's little things in our life tonight that we're not careful, that if we don't ever deal with, that determines how we feel about one another. And if we got to be honest. Jesus said that you can't love Him in the level and in the place that you should unless you love your brother and your sister. So think about it. That one person that I'm giving all the power to, I'm reverencing what I feel about them more than I'm reverencing the Lord. I'm not nitpicking. I'm telling you some things that we don't understand, how we can not give reverence to the Lord, how we're not in the place and the position of fear. We need to be the, see, I need to know that if it wasn't for God's grace, that I could be in hell right now. God saved me, Brother Donnie. He kept me from death. So I need to reverence Him. I need to fear Him. But if not, then I'm alive now. If the sounding of the trumpet or if my heart stops beating, if it wasn't for His grace, there's only two places. I need to be in so awe of Him and so thankful to Him that I get this little, this flesh is going back to the dirt. But yet it has so much power in our life if we yield to it. I don't want to yield to it, Sister Michelle. It's hurt and hindered me. Okay. Turn over into the book of Acts. Acts chapter 7. Let's see something. In this seventh chapter, we've talked about it before. This is where Stephen gives the greatest witness and testimony before these same people that killed Jesus. And they're going to kill him. Even Saul had a part of this. But I just want you to read one verse. Verse 51. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. It says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." So think about that. It's not only that the heart, the neck, the head won't bow down because it's full of pride, but the heart can't even think what it needs to think because it's got this heart of stone, this heart of self over it. But when the word of the Lord goes forth, they can't even hear because even their ears are uncircumcised. See, this is a progression. And this is where we're at in the church today. Whether we believe it or not, Jesus is coming back. He is coming back in power and glory. And He's coming back for a church, Paul writes in Ephesians, that's without spot or blemish. So we don't need to fool ourselves and think I can dilly-dally over here and be a church that's without spot and blemish. Well, I've got grace. Thank God for grace. Grace is wonderful. Grace saves us. It doesn't give us a license to do what we want to do. Right. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, he said, you do always, notice this, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. So do ye. Now, notice this. That word resist is not a strong enough word. From the Greek, it says, you're always in opposition of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is so important. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm just, God wants to help us. When the Bible says to think on the good things, and I don't do it, what am I doing? I'm opposing the word of truth and I'm reverencing something other than God. I'm resisting the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit, He only lifts up Jesus. Jesus is the Word. So what I'm doing, I may not know it, I may not recognize it, I may not realize it, but I am reverencing the enemy. I'm reverencing this world. I'm reverencing this flesh. And so I got to stop that. The Bible says, think on the good things. The Bible says, do not murmur. You can't walk into a church house without hearing murmuring about something. What are we doing? We're not reverencing God. We're reverencing a feeling. We're reverencing what's going across the butt of our mind. And if it doesn't come up in our spirit, then we need to what? We need to repent. And we're talking about, we're going, whatever we reverence. Can you sure? Mm-hmm. Whatever we reverence is what we're drawing nigh to. Draw nigh unto God and He will draw. I don't want the other side of the coin to you. See, there's all these little commands in the New Testament that's there that we think that they're just there as suggestions. Thank God that we don't have, we're saved by grace. We don't have to live under the Old Testament law, but we have to live under the New Testament law. That's love. So love thinks no. Well, I don't know why they're wearing that. I don't know why they said that. Exactly. All of these things, see, we got to be real with the Lord where He'll be real with us. Notice what He said. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always, at every opportune time, you do always resist, you oppose the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so did you. Jesus, He come to show us the perfect will of the Father. He come to show us the way to how we could live in that truth by the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so here is the Holy Spirit's moving on Stephen, and he's speaking this out. And of course, Luke's writing this down as the Spirit brings it to his heart. I want you to imagine, I figure in Stephen's heart and probably Luke's heart as well, when he talks about opposing the Holy Spirit, they knew how severe it was. Because, you know, Genesis 6:3, God makes this statement. He's so upset at His creation. It said He repented that He made God, made man, that God made man. Remember that? And then He made this statement. He said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And then He gave a time frame. He said, "Man's days shall be 120 years. Of course, Psalms 90, that was cut down to 70 or 80, and if even by strength, but 90. So think about that just for a minute. My spirit shall not always strive. So every time I resist the truth of the Word of God, I resist what the Spirit of God is saying to me, I'm dishonoring God, and I'm reverencing a lie. And the lie is getting stronger. And it's going to be harder for me to bow my head. It's going to be harder for me to hear with my ear and to receive with my heart that truth that will change everything. So what I got to do, I got to be quick to hear, and I got to be quick to repent. Slow to speak. That's right. We need to be we're all going to make mistakes, but we just need to be quick to repent. Because when we're quick to repent, we cut off that time where we're out of God's grace, that place of favor, that place of light, and that causes the time that the devil has to work in your life and my life to wreak havoc. It shortens it. I want that, don't you? You do always resist the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Let's see how we might do that. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "And," but we're going to read this first, but it says, "And grieve not," don't make the Holy Spirit sad, don't distress Him. "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Aren't you glad that you've got the stamp of the Spirit of God on your life? But He said, because you've got that stamp, you've got the assurance that the Spirit of God lives in you and He's going to stay in you. But the Spirit of God showed me some things that I've said that the Holy Spirit had to listen to. He's listened to everything we say. And He reads our heart. He knows what we're thinking. He doesn't condemn us, but He wants us to grab us by the hand and bring the Word of God in our life that'll be the truth that'll make us free from that. Amen? So, notice what He said, "And grieve not." So let's back up. We got to jump up just a little bit. and see what he's talking about. Jump back up to verse number 25. It says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So one way I can make the Holy Spirit sad is if I don't speak the truth. So, well, I don't lie. No, we don't lie outrightly, but a lot of times we don't speak the truth. So, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to offend them. Then I'm more concerned about them than I am the Lord. I'm talking about going to a place, a new level in the Lord. I'm talking about what, see, God's going to pour out His grace. It's going to be greater than the sin that's in this world, but He needs a vessel that will take the anointing to minister the grace. But we cannot handle the anointing if we're not in the place of holiness and purity. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know how many people is angry with one another? See, anger is a feeling. And if I'll give that feeling to Jesus, then He'll show me how to sanctify that. And He'll show me how to keep that from turning to bitterness. But if I don't give that to Him, and if I hold it and hold it and hold it, then it turns into bitterness. And then bitterness turns into wrath, which all of a sudden a feeling went from a feeling to an action. And my action is not just seen here, it's seen there. So then when God wants to use me, and see, we got to get so real. We're so far away from living out of this Bible. When God wants to use me, then here's the devil. You realize that God's always sitting on the throne, and here's the devil, and he's the one that's trying to resist what God wants to do in us and through us. So everything that the devil knows, then he presents a case against me why God can't use me. And if I don't repent and give that to the Lord, then I'm outside of God's will and I can't be used the way that God wants me to be used. But the moment, the second I repent, it's gone and it's stamped. It's finished. It's over. And then I can do what God wants me to do. But I've got to give these things to the Lord. I can't hold on to him. Notice what he says. Look what's in connection here, how 26 and 27 go together, you know, about the anger and the wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Now see, when Jesus bought me, when he bought you, when he redeemed us with his own blood, he bought us spirit, soul, and body. Why would I want, Brother Green, why would I want to give the devil anything that Jesus had just redeemed, just bought back? Think about that while we read. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, work with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know, sometimes we steal those things that God would have us to do. Like he'll say, go give brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so a hug. But we steal that. Go, well, no, I don't want to hug them. I don't want to. They think I'm weird or something. Or what good is that going to do? No, my labor is for the Lord. And when I labor for him, it accomplishes what he has. You know, he said, I'll send out my word and it won't return unto him void, but it accomplished where he sent it to. Well, when he gives you something to do, that's his word. And he sent it forth in your life to do. If you don't do it, if I don't do it, there'll be somebody that'll do it. But they'll get the reward. I want to do it, don't you? Okay. Notice what he says, verse 29, about grieving the Spirit of God. Let no corrupt communication, no worthless, is what it says from the Greek. Nothing worthless. So if it isn't of God, if it isn't beneficial, if it isn't building up, I am distressing, I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Okay, how do I not do that? Let no worthless communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. So, it's all right for you to correct me in love and to help me, just don't talk about me. So we're not talking about being oblivious to what's going on in people's lives and not relating to people. We're not talking about that, but we're talking about, see, corrupt communication is judging somebody. And if we're not careful, that's the easiest thing for us to do. Well, I dare them. I'm not going to be around them. They have offended me. So I'm going to get back in my little place of protection and see, I've gave place to the enemy. I've shut off what God would have me to do because that person needs me and I need them. Grieve not. Don't distress the Holy Spirit. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 19. So not only can we distress, make him sad, the Holy Spirit, but we can be in that place in our lives where we're just not walking in the Spirit, but we can absolutely quench him. Look at verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not. Don't put out the fire. See, inside of you, inside of me, when we come to God's altar, and we accepted Jesus, the Holy Ghost and fire came in your life, came in my life. There is a fire burning in you. And it's the very fire from the altar of God. And that fire is the... Think about when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their Babylonian names, Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael, when they were thrown in the fiery furnace, all that fire did was burn the bonds, the bands, the things that was holding them in the Babylonian captivity, it just burnt them off. It didn't hurt them. Because as they heated that furnace 7 times hotter than normal, that all of a sudden, the one that looked like the Son of Man, Jesus, was in the fire with them. The fire of the Lord can't hurt you. But what does it do? It takes things off of us. So the way that I quench not the Spirit in verse 19 is that I'm in the place and the position where whatever the Spirit of God reveals to me, I let the fire burn the lie out. I let the fire bring the light and darkness leaves. I let the fire warm me when my heart gets cold, when it gets hard, all of those things. Because look what happens. He said, this is how you know where you're at. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. If I don't rejoice, I'm putting the fire out. It's hard for me to rejoice sometimes. I'd rather gripe. But who am I reverencing? Notice what he said, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Gosh, you know, sometimes it's like that's all you do is pray. But if I don't pray, and what we're talking about here, we're not talking about literally getting down on our knees. We're talking about being in fellowship with God the Father by the Son through the Spirit. Your lifestyle, your living, every breath that you take is fellowship. It's a prayer. Breathe in, breathe out. God, what do you want? So we're not putting the fire out because we're doing these things. Notice what he said. He said, in everything, how much? Give thanks. The Greek says, be grateful. And everything's be grateful, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So if I'm going to keep the fire burning, I've got to learn to give thanks. See, all of a sudden, that person that's offending me, that person that's causing me to offend God, I say, Lord, put some fire in this situation. Burn the lie out. Burn the dross out. Show me what you see in them. Show me how valuable they are to you, where I can elevate them in you, and then I can let that fire take the lie out of my heart, where I won't be bound, I won't be hurt. I can return to reverence. See, my feeling toward a person, my feeling toward a situation, I'm either going to reverence it or I'm going to reverence the Lord. Okay, let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. You know where I'm going. Proverbs chapter 1, let's read verse 7. The fear, the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, when I start reverencing the Lord, then all of a sudden, I start knowing how to live. I start knowing how to walk. I start knowing how to talk. I start knowing how to enjoy this life. When I realize that Jesus is the life giver, He come that I might and have it. That's why He comes. So the more I reverence Him, see, my flesh, everything that it wants to do, Brother Larry, is contrary to what life is. It wants all these things, but it's death. It's unhappiness. It's a struggle. It's hardship. And it's such a pull. But when I come back to Jesus and I realize, no, I'm going to reverence Him. I'm going to fear Him. Then He starts giving me knowledge of the truth. Those things that I strive so hard to get were empty. But He's not empty. So hold your place here. Let's read one verse. Look at chapter 8, verse 13. Proverbs 8, 13. The fear of the Lord is, so this is how I can tell if I'm reverencing the Lord or not. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Okay. See, me and Donna, when we watch TV, we like to watch old shows. Because, you know, you can pick through your stuff and you can kind of find some, you know, stuff that's less offendable, you know. But some of these things that we watch, just because it's an old show, doesn't mean it doesn't grieve the Holy Spirit, doesn't quench the Holy Spirit. So notice what he said. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth. Look what it says. Do I hate? So anything that I'm sitting there watching that's contrary to this verse of Scripture, I'm reverencing it and I'm giving it place. Whether it's the internet, whether it's television, whether it's a novel, a book, a magazine, newspaper, it doesn't matter what it is. I'm giving that power in my life. I'm submitting to that. See, the moment that we submit to something that is evil, he said for us to hate evil, the moment that we submit to that, we've gave evil power in our life. So I've got to come back and I've got to be honest with the Lord. So I'm not fearing you in this area. Because if I was reverencing you in this area, Lord, then this wouldn't be in my life. I wouldn't have this strong one. I wouldn't have this desire. Now, it's there. But as we serve the Lord, that gets smaller and He gets bigger. That's how we come to deliverance. So let's go back. Let's reread that again. and verse 7. He said, the fear of the Lord is. So it's a present tense thing. It's something that starts you and I on a journey. Every time we reverence the Lord in a new revelation, like the Spirit of God speaks to you about something tonight and you honor Him in what He speaks, then that's a progressive, that's a new revelation that is the beginning of knowledge. He said, but the foolish, they despise wisdom and instruction. So I've got to be correctable. I've got to be teachable. I got to say, Father God, help me to be teachable. I don't want to be foolish. See, Jesus gives us this parable as He closes. He tells us what's going to happen in the last days in Matthew 24. But then in Matthew 25, He tells us the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. How many of you have got a flashlight that you carry around without any batteries? They were carrying around what would be equivalent for you today, a flashlight without any batteries. That's silly, is it not? But do we do the same thing if we're not careful? So He said, keep your lamp lit and keep it full of oil. Keep it full of the Word. Keep it full of fellowship. Keep it full of the Word. But I can't fellowship with the Lord if I don't hate evil, if I don't hate pride, arrogancy, if I don't hate that forward way of thinking, that forward way of talking. We live in a nation where the prouder that you can talk, the better people like you. We elevate that arrogancy. Well, God's going to put it down. So notice what He said. Just a couple of scriptures and I'll let you go. He said that fools despise wisdom and instruction. So I need to know how to get wise. And if I'll get wise, then I'm gonna be able to walk in a way that would please the Lord. So let's go to Paul's writing to the church at Colossae. Let's look at what he tells the church there in Colossians chapter 2, I believe, and 3. Because we need to be in the place where we know how we're walking. Oh, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you. That word dwell means to inhabit. It means to live freely in you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How? In all wisdom. He said, fools, they despise wisdom. The foolish, they won't receive wisdom. So that means they won't receive the word of God. In other words, they won't reverence the word. They won't receive a word of instruction. They won't receive a word of correction. But you and I, because we're choosing God, we're choosing to reverence Him, we're choosing wisdom. And this is how we get it. Let the word of Christ dwell, live in you richly in all wisdom. What will it do? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So all of a sudden, when you and I are in that place where we're letting the Word take preeminence, we're letting the Word be the strongest place in our life, he said that wisdom would just start coming. In other words, all of a sudden, the devil will bring a snare that used to always hook me, and there's the wisdom of the Lord, and I'm not even enticed by it. I don't look to it. You don't even look to it. Because you recognize it for what it is. You see it. It's a snare of the devil. It's a lie. It's something that worked in the past, but it's not working now. Right. You know, the Bible said, quench not the Spirit. Ephesians 6:16 tells you and I that we're to quench every fiery dart of the devil. Right? We do it by putting on the whole armor of God. Well, if I'm quenching the Spirit, then those fiery darts are going to be bigger and stronger, and they're going to be more effective. So I need to be in this place. Lord, give me the wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in this area of my life. This dart that's coming after me, this dart that's hit me before, this dart that has tried to destroy me before, this dart that's held me back before, let this word of God inhabit. Let it live in my life. Show me that truth that will make me free in that area. Look at the fourth chapter. Look what he said in verse number 4. He said, that I may make manifest as I ought to speak. You know, he's talking about this utterance being opened unto him by prayer. And he said, if I'm speaking the right thing, because, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And look what will happen in verse 5. Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom. I can walk in wisdom. I don't have to walk according to the old way of life. I don't have to walk according to what used to hurt me, hinder me, what used to hold me back. I can walk in wisdom. So the fear, the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and it's the beginning of wisdom, understanding. So I don't have to be foolish. I can be in that place where I can walk in wisdom. I can do what the Bible says I can do. So all of a sudden, you and I were walking in a different way. He said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So my life, your life, all of a sudden, instead of becoming a testimony of what used to be, of what this world was about, it's a testimony that I've been redeemed and I've been took out of the time of this world and I'm in a timeless, eternal kingdom. And it points other people to that timeless, eternal kingdom. Amen? Okay, close with me in Psalms 34. Psalms 34, this, I want you to take this home and I want you to believe that it's yours tonight. Look what he tells us, because you have chose to reverence the Lord. I've chose to reverence the Lord. Look at some promises that are yours. Verse 7, Psalms 34, 7. The angel of the Lord, come on, this is... The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, a lot of times, if it's got the article with it in the Hebrew, it's the pre-incarnate Christ. Not every time, but if it's got that article in there, you can bank on it. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that what? That fear him. That's Sister Michelle, thank you. That reverence him. And what does he do? Wow. Okay. Walk in wisdom, walk in wisdom. Let the word of Christ inhabit, live in me. So if there's some area in my life that I don't have freedom tonight, then I need to come back and let the Spirit of God quicken me and show me what I haven't reverenced the Lord in, what word I haven't honored, what truth, where I've been stiff-necked, where I've been uncircumcised in heart and ears, I need to repent. And then all of a sudden he said, I have deliverance for you. See, I'm trying to figure out in my own life why I deal with this sadness, this intense cloud that comes over my life, and just I to this day I haven't figured it out. But I know that God's going to show me, and I'm going to get the word from that, and I'm going to get deliverance from that, because it steals, kills, and destroys moments. Because I can't enjoy moments, or I can't minister in certain times, because that sadness is so heavy and so strong, and it clouds everything. So right here, I need to come to this place where I said, wait a minute, my God's a God of deliverance. Your God's a God of deliverance. He doesn't want us to be bound, hindered, hurt in any way. So the angel of the Lord, the key is, he said he would encamp around me. That means he lives around me. Jesus said, I'm in him and he's in me. He said, because you believed in me, you're in the Father's hand and no man can pluck you out. So we've got to live in this reality. Now look what it says. Verse 8, for this to be true, he said, oh, taste and see. So I've got to eat the word of God. The entrance of God's word gives light. So I've got to eat this word. And he said, the moment that I tasted, and that I would start seeing the truth, Brother Green. I don't have to believe a lie. I can see the truth. And that truth that the devil made me thought was so far away. So I was going to have to live a long time. I was going to have to try really hard. I was going to have to give everything I could. It was right there. Already a part of the redemption. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man, woman, boy, or girl that trusteth in Him. That word blessed here is a Hebrew word, how happy. So if you don't have happiness, if I don't have happiness tonight, I need to what? I need to check my trust level. One more verse, I'll let you go. Verse 9, look at what when we reverence the Lord, what happens? O fear, O reverence the Lord, ye His saints. Now, you're a saint tonight if you have believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You're a saint of God because all that means is you've been sanctified. So this verse, you qualify, okay? Look what it says. He said, oh, fear the Lord, reverence the Lord, ye His saints. Notice this. For there is no want to them that fear Him. None. No deficiency. No destitute situation that God's Word can't take care of. So what I do is, you preach this, you read this, you witness this to some people, and immediately the devil will show them, well, that scripture ain't true because look at this lack that you've got in your life. The scripture doesn't do that. The scripture shows us the answer, not the problem. The devil only shows the problem and takes away all hope. Jesus, He gives us the solution to the problem and fills us with all hope. So I want to reverence the Lord, don't you? So I can claim wisdom. I can claim knowledge and understanding. I can claim His presence in my life. I can claim that He is my source, but I've got to let Him be my source. Right. Not my own words, not my own feelings, not my own understandings. I let Him be my source. I want you to go with me back to 200 years to the nation of Hungary. There was a king in the nation of Hungary at that time, and the Spirit of God started dealing with him. Started drawing him. Remember when the Spirit of God started drawing you? You know, started just tugging on your heart. Well, the Spirit of God started dealing with the king. And his brother, who was the prince, come in one day. And the king was trying to share his heart. He said, I don't understand what's going on in my life. He said, I've got a hunger in my heart for something. And said, I think it has to do with this Bible, but I read it, but I don't understand it. But there's something that God's trying to say to me. He said, I don't know what it is. He said, I've got this and I've got that. He said, but I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied. I know that there's something more. And his brother laughed at him and said, oh, King, he said, you've got everything you could possibly want. What is wrong with you? And he turned around and walked out of the king's presence. Well, the king thought about this and he kept thinking about things in the Bible, and the Spirit of God led him to the part what we just read about the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord. It's the beginning of knowledge. It brings an understanding about what this life is all about. And he thought, I need to reverence the Lord. I need to put Him first. But then he thought about how his brother had not shown him any reverence, because his brother said, what have you got to fear, King? But the king knew that he had something to fear because there was some truth working in his life. So at this point in time in the kingdom, you had an executioner. And this executioner, he would come, whoever had been sentenced to death, he would come to their door 1 hour before they were to be executed, and he would sound a loud trumpet sound. And when they heard that sound, they knew that whoever was on the other side of that door, they were going to be executed exactly 1 hour. So the king sent the executioner to his brother's door at 2:00 in the morning. This true story. And the horn sounded, and the brother stood straight up in bed, and all of a sudden he realized what fear was, what life was. And the executioner said, "You've got 1 hour to get everything together, and I'm going to lead you to the gallows." And that's exactly what he did. He gave him 1 hour, and he led him to the gallows. And when he got to the gallows, there he met his brother. And his brother said, "The fear that you just felt, you need to know that unless we've met Jesus, when we step on the other side, that fear is going to be real. God will get his fear, his reverence. But you can have it in love today." Or tonight. Well, is today, as this time. Think about that. We're all going to die unless the trumpet sounds. Let's die victoriously. Let's die in peace, or let's go at the sounding of the trumpet, at the last trumpet. Let's go in glory. Amen? Now, here's what the Spirit of God wants to do. He wants to help you and I. Everything that we're burdened down with tonight, everything that would be a hindrance to us, if we'll just talk to Him about it, don't matter about anybody else, it's just between you and the Lord. Just tell Him how you feel. Tell Him where you're at. Be honest with Him, and then He can be honest with you. Amen? And He'll give you an anointing. He'll give me an anointing. He'll lift us up out of this situation, and He'll take us to the next level. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for this group of people. I thank You, Lord, that You love me, that You love them enough to correct us. Father, I'm quick to repent. I know that I've allowed my flesh to dominate certain situations. I know that I've thought certain things that I accepted as my own thought and feelings when it wasn't even me that thought it. The source was the enemy, to bring discouragement, to bring despair, to dissect me from Your best. Lord, tonight, help each one of us. We've got reasons to be angry. You had reasons to be angry with me, but You're no longer angry with me. You're no longer angry with Your church because Jesus took that wrath. So help each one of us tonight what we're feeling. It may be anger, and it may be have turned into wrath. Help us to give that to You that we may be healed, that we can have true liberation in our life and freedom for Your glory, where You can pour out that next level anointing that will minister that next level of grace, that will cause the sin that is abounding to be put under Your feet. Let it be, Father. We ask You in Jesus' name. Would you come make yourself an altar, or here at your pew, or up here at the front, wherever you choose to do it, but would you take this message with all seriousness? And let it be applied to your heart, soul, and life tonight.